You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans, doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. You can follow me on social media at Ryan Sickler, website ryansickler.com. I'd like to say thank you to everyone in Edmonton that came out to the shows. It was great meeting you, great seeing you, fantastic club. Some other dates, June 13th through the 15th, I'll be in Richmond, Maryland, and Atlantic City with Tom Segura. Also, June 27th through the 30th, I'll be in Tulsa, Wichita, and Kansas City with T-Nuts. And August 1st through the 3rd, I'm at the House of Comedy in Minnesota. I'll have a date in September for Baltimore. And again, I every week, I just want to say thank you. More and more emails, more and more messages. I'm glad this matters to you. I'm glad you're enjoying the show. It makes me feel good. And so please make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you download, review. Make sure you're subscribed to Your Mom's House YouTube page. The website here is thehoneydewpodcast.com. You can get to all the social media links and follow on Twitter and Facebook that way. Merch is there. I love seeing you guys send pictures of your merch. Hoodies, stickers, whatever you're getting over there, shirts. And you can email me at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're new to this show here, what we're doing over here is highlighting the low lights. We like to laugh at the not so fun times. And these are the stories behind the storytellers. And today, my honeydew is one of my favorite people. Has been so good to me, so fucking funny, so diverse. Jeremiah Watkins.
Hey, buddy.
My man.
How are you?
Brother?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I was telling Jeremiah here that your podcast, I was talking to Best Stelling. I called Larson, told him, like, it's the most fun I've had on a podcast in a long time. It's just silly and fun and ridiculous.
Yeah,
I don't say the word silly.
It's just about having fun and being and having a good time,
it's
you know?
It's such a good
get
time.
Get to do characters. There's weird sound effects and voice filters. It's just a good time, you
Mike
know?
Piazza called in on my episode.
I know. He got you anal. It's crazy,
it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
It's wild.
That guy finally called in.
Man. He came through, man. It
he
was
did.
Good.
He came through twice.
Yeah.
Got me anal and then called me to talk to me about it.
It was a full circle
you,
moment.
Piazza.
Yeah, thank you, Mike Piazza. Appreciate that.
Please go ahead and plug whatever you'd like. Your podcast, you have a new album coming out. Get it all out there.
Yeah. As Ryan said, I've got a great podcast called Jeremiah Wonders. Check it out on youtube.com/Jeremiah Watkins. And I have a new album coming out, my debut comedy album with my boy Patty Reagan. It's called Reagan and Watkins. It's a music comedy album. Comes out on June 7th on all platforms. You can follow me on social media at Jeremiah Standup. Go to jeremiahwatkins.com for tour dates and videos and different stuff like that. And I think that's about it. Kill Tony. Check us out every Monday live
great.
At the Comedy
that's
Store.
A great show.
Stand Up on the Spot once a month at the Comedy
Another
Store.
Great show.
And then part of Roast Battle in the Comedy Jam. So a lot of different shows around LA. So
yeah,
a lot of
everywhere.
Chances to see me. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you came on here. And I'm so glad I asked you to send me some stuff ahead of time because you sent me something that I didn't know. And I also didn't know it was so recent. So do you mind if we.
Let's you
Start
know what?
Talking
let's
about
let's
that.
Dive right into it.
You're a survivor of skin cancer, and I said, "What does that mean? You survived skin cancer?"
Yeah, because you didn't even know.
No, I had no idea.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was just 5 years ago, four
yeah,
years ago,
in 2014,
post Crab Feast episode. You said so.
I think so.
I said, "Did you talk about this on there?" And you're like, "I don't think I had it yet."
Or yeah, I don't think so. And if I happened to do the Crab Feast like in 2015 or 16, I wasn't at a place yet where I was comfortable talking about it. You know what I mean?
So what happened?
So basically, it was one of those things where I had a spot on my back that...
And a spot. Is it a mole? Is
it was a mole.
Dark? Okay.
It was a dark, discolored mole.
Raised?
And, it was raised. And it was almost like... It was very dark, but it was bordering another mole. So it was like a mole on top of a mole. So it looked a little weird.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing was, is it started to grow. I started to get like a little bit bigger and it's on
was
my
it sore.
It wasn't sore. I didn't have what's scary about the whole thing. I didn't have any of the symptoms that they went down a huge checklist when I finally went in like later on
mm-hmm.
and like, did you have any of these symptoms? I didn't have any of those. That's what was kind of scary about the whole thing. But it was a darker, like almost like a black speck bordering like a raised, like brown mole. It was like, It just looked discolored and like off. It looked like, you know, I have moles like this all over my body, all these freckles and stuff like that. I'm a white guy who, you know,
didn't use sunscreen.
European, didn't use sunscreen.
Yeah.
Burn easily. So my wife and we were like boyfriend, girlfriend at the time, and we weren't even engaged yet. She noticed that it was like changing. She's like, hey, you might want to get this checked out. I'm like, I'm doing the guy thing, you know, where I'm like, it's not a big deal. I don't really want to go to the doctor. And I just kind of kept brushing it off. And she would keep an eye on it. It's on my back. I literally never see this
right,
thing. Yeah. Where it's positioned, like, I would have to look in the mirror directly. Like, I would have to keep an eye on it like that. So I'm never looking at it. I'm just towing off. I went home to...
Dennis mirror back there.
Like, just, what are we doing back here? So I go home to visit family. And
so even as it grows, there's no pain or anything like that?
No pain, no discomfort. It's not like one of the things that's a symptom is if it's itching.
I was about to ask, does it itch all the time?
Didn't itch. It's in a place where it's like kind of like here's my spine right in the middle of the back. It was like right around this area right here.
Okay.
So it's not like in a super sensitive area. It's just like whatever. And I go home to visit my mom, my family, and my mom notices when I'm going from the bathroom to the bedroom, like just in a towel. She sees me literally, like as I'm walking. She goes, "What's that spot on your back?" And I was like, "Oh, it's whatever. Like I think it's just a mole." And she goes, "I think you need to get this checked out." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, whatever." Had a lady, a third woman in New York. We were doing roast battle. I was out there with Willie Hunter and Jamar Neighbors at the Gramercy in New York, and we do a show, and we get shirtless a lot on roast battle.
Yeah,
we do.
A lot.
We'll get into that later. And a lady who is a doctor pulls me aside after a show. She goes, "You really, really need to get that spot checked out.
Are you fucking serious?" She's so a doctor at roast battle spots you shirtless from the crowd and is like, "Hey, man,
it's like something's wrong with that." Like, hey,
you know,
idiot,
when you were doing that live birth act on stage over there, I noticed the discoloration on your back that you should probably get
checked. There's a bordering issue with that mole on your back that's not sitting well with me as
a dermatologist.
It's not
the brown one under so much as that big black one that seems to be growing while I'm looking at it.
Yeah, what's happening?
So that's when you finally were like, okay, that's it? Or
yeah.
You're still not enough?
I mean, no.
You had three opinions.
I had three opinions. At that point, I was like, I had already told my wife and my mom that I was going to make an appointment. And I had one like for like a month. I was like, all right, I made one. It was like for a month out. Like, so like that, there's a perfect storm of three women that were like, listen, quit being an idiot dude about this and being too cool for school to go to the doctor and go get this thing checked out. Because I was making fun of it. Like, as a comedian, you know, like, I was starting to name it and stuff,
yeah.
Like, just be stupid. I shot this sketch that never got released where I've got, like, I literally have, like, moles and freckles, like, all over my body. And we did this sketch where I pulled my shirt off and we traced with a Sharpie the moles on my back, and it spelled out cancer on my back. So I'm literally just like making fun of it. I'm like, oh, this is stupid. Like, I'm invincible. I'm just a young guy, whatever. And I go to the dermatologist and they say they're doing a body scan. I've never done one before. They're like, okay. And the doctor goes, huh. He just stops.
Fuck that.
And he goes, I usually don't do this. We're going to remove that today. We're going to cut that out right now. He goes, usually like there's a follow up or something, but he goes, I really want to get this off to the lab. It just doesn't look right. So they cut it out. And it's the size, they cut out like a quarter size out of my back. Like, cause it was starting to get big. Like, it was like probably, I don't know.
As big as a quarter?
Like, they have to take skin out around it too. So like it was like, you know, it was probably the size of a dime at that point.
So when it kept growing, was it more that it was widening, or was it getting puffier? Like,
it was growing in like depth, and it was also like the bordering was like getting all weird. It was literally like something that was like going,
right?
You know,
like an amoeba.
Yeah, you know, like the Pillsbury, like those biscuits, like when you pop it, like
yeah. And it just grows
and
up.
It slowly slides down the side. That's kind of what it was like. Just slowly sliding around a little bit. And I went back home in 2014 to visit family over Christmas break, and I got a phone call while I was at home in Kansas.
Okay, so hold on. So they take it out while you're there mm-hmm. in New York.
No, I'm back in L.A. at this
back
point.
Back in L.A., he takes it out. And how long from that point to you going back home to visit? Weeks?
It was a week or two.
A week or two.
Because they said, if you don't hear anything from us, that's good news, right. Which is always like, whatever. That's a weird policy to mm-hmm. have. Like, if you don't hear anything, I guess it's good.
But how long is it before I'm supposed to hear from?
I know.
Like 6 years?
Yeah, exactly.
If you don't hear from us in 20 years, everything's yeah, probably
fine. I think
fine.
You're solid, man. Don't worry about it. So it took like, you know, a week or two. And I got the phone call while I was in my mom's kitchen in Kansas. And she knew. She is a mother's intuition. Like, I was like, okay, yeah. They called me and they're like, hey, is this Jeremiah? And the whole time leading up to this, while I'm at the dermatologist and like, I'm literally joking like in my head about everything. Like they asked me, like I went to a very LA dermatologist because I didn't have insurance at the time and I found like the cheapest one that I could. And they asked me
for... out of a breakfast truck.
Yeah. All right, you want
y'all
an omelet?
Skin tags?
All right.
Some skin tags?
What's the skin tag? You want the omelet? You want a breakfast burrito? We'll check you real quick. All right. Let's do this.
You should probably get that black mole look.
Yeah, right I mean, that's a little bit too much pepper on that thing over there. So the whole time, I'm just like joking about the whole process. They asked me on the sheet if I have a preferred name to be called. And I put down Stardust because I thought that it would be hilarious right. if I got the call later like, Stardust, you have cancer. So I'm just joking about the whole thing in my head. And
but are you joking because
I'm a little bit scared. I'm a little bit scared on the inside because there's enough people who are looking at me a little weird now where it's starting to not be as funny to me anymore, so I'm just using this as like kind of like a healing process, like we do as a defense mechanism. Just like, you know, whatever, like I'm just kind of trying to brush this off. And you know, when I get that phone call, they told me on the phone, they go, you have stage 2 melanoma, you need to have surgery immediately. We don't know how far it started to spread, but it's serious. Like, and I'm listening to this phone call and I'm just staying calm and
that's what they're telling you, it's serious.
That they're telling me it's serious on the phone, and my mom she's looking at me like while I'm taking the phone call, and I'm trying to stay calm and collected so she doesn't freak out. And then she knows that it's that call that I've been waiting for. She goes, "Who was that?" I go, "It was a dermatologist." And she's like, "What did they say?" I go, "You know, I have cancer, they said, and I need to have surgery soon." And she started crying, of course, and she's like, "Whatever it takes, we'll get taken care of." And you know, but we started the process right away while
that's
I was in
what
Kansas.
That's what I want to ask. So you get the call and you're going to be there for a while for the holidays.
I'm going to be there, right? I used to back around that time, like the first like 5-6 years that I was living in LA, I would go back for like at least like 2-2.5 weeks at a time. Mm-hmm. So I was planning on going back for a couple weeks. I was already back there and I was like going to be
and
back
there
for a couple
weeks.
You're not
going to wait 2 weeks to go get this shit started.
Right. But the problem is like we start weighing options like, okay, I could go out to LA. I don't have insurance. I have zero insurance right now. Like,
and
this
you
is
have stage 2 fucking cancer.
Yeah. So this is at a time when, you know, I was at the time, you know, like, and I'm grateful that I'm still able to be pursuing comedy full time. But that was like at one of those precipices in my career where I'm doing it full time, but I'm struggling pretty hard in 2014 to make anything like just stay afloat month to month. But I'm excited that I'm able to just do comedy. But going with that, sometimes like you have to make sacrifices like no insurance. So what my mom does, she's worked at UPS for years.
Shout out to UPS,
shout
Baltimore
out to UPS,
Hub, Primary
man.
One.
What
Joe
up, man?
Abbott,
how you doing here?
What did you? I didn't know your mom.
Thank you for your service.
How did I not know your mom worked at UPS?
We haven't talked about it.
What
man.
Does she do at UPS?
She's a spa, a scanner. You know,
yeah.
She scans the packages. Yeah. You know what's up.
Is she the next day airs? She out there in the trailer getting the next day airs ready for the planes and shit?
No, I don't think so. All right. No, she's literally standing in one spot, like putting the labels on, zap, scanning packages, stuff like that.
And where?
In Kansas, Olathe. Olathe Division. Olathe, you want me to make a call?
Yeah, I do. I want to talk to the people at the right, hub cool. down there. Yeah. I
used Ronnie!
To be, I used to be a Teamster.
Ronnie! There's a sickle cell.
My doctor said
been
that
a minute,
to me.
Player. Hey, how you doing, man? What are we doing here, man?
I mean,
hey,
not,
I want to thank all the
not
UPS
the sidetrack. I literally
show,
went
man.
For.
Thank you so much, man.
You got.
I hey, want to thank
you
all of
you. You and Dan
Van
Kirk
man.
Did a great right. job in imitating me. I listened to it. But Dan nails my laugh because you have to do it while you're talking. That's the,
yeah,
that's
no,
the
that,
key.
I like. I didn't want to take his. Yeah. I didn't want to take
that,
his.
When
his
he
is very
does
good.
It, I'm like, you got the
yeah.
best one.
Yeah,
but I went.
You sound
to
like a, you're laughing when you get really excited. It sounds like a monkey that's being choked. It's like, yeah.
I went to the doctor this morning for a physical, and because of your post the other day about skin cancer. Mm-hmm. I fucking told him. I was like, check these moles out right here. He's like, yeah, that one's a little dark.
Oh,
right
that's
there.
A Jeremiah Watkins mole right
so
there.
So I'm going to guess what I'm going to call it, my Jeremiah. I'm yeah. going to try to keep the jokes less. I'll be all serious about it.
Yeah.
I'll be like, cut whatever the fuck you need and send that shit off.
Yeah.
All right. So process begin. You're like, fuck
the process
this.
Begins,
we're going
to
go
my
in
mom
Kansas.
Has to. Yeah. Well, we thought about LA. I didn't have insurance. She goes, we're going to do it here in Kansas. And I'm going to get you signed up on my insurance. So she signed me up on like Cobra insurance as like as quickly as she could. And it took only like a week to get me like
that's
started
good.
On
yeah.
the insurance. And there was a chain of events that happened that, you know, I'm very extremely grateful for that. If you believe in, you know, higher power or whatever, there are certain things that happened that were so perfect. Aligned that I'm still blown away that it happened. So she's cleaned houses for years along with working at UPS, making that you know under the table cash
yeah,
play.
Know
you know what I'm talking about?
I've
yeah,
played paid a long
Come on,
time.
Man, you know
table.
What I'm talking
what
about?
Tax
yeah. yeah, all right.
What tax return?
Welcome back to Honeydew, y'all. Okay, man. So she gets me signed up on her insurance, and one of the doctors that she cleans houses for is a great doctor in Kansas. And he knows the head of oncology.
Damn.
At KU. He calls. He makes a favor on behalf of my mom because she's been cleaning his house for like 15 years. And they get me into surgery within another week after that. So like this
Two
all happens like around Christmas time in yeah. 2014. Like it was the weirdest Christmas of my life because I'm having to, you know.
You got cancer for Christmas. For
I have
Christ's
cancer
sake.
For Christmas.
Jesus Christ.
Worst gift ever. Santa, I don't want this. You've been a naughty boy this year. I'll take the charcoal or the lumps. No,
give
you
me
get
the coal.
Cancer.
Give me the coal. You're getting cancer.
No,
Jeremiah.
Give me the coal.
You've been a real asshole.
Yeah. So my, you know, it's also at an interesting time in my relationship with, my now wife, I'm like telling her, like, she's like wanting to stay there for the surgery. Also we're super broke. I'm, you know, we're trying to figure things out. And, like I waited to tell her, I think I told her like on, I think I told her the bad news, like on Christmas Eve or something. I gave like terrible timing on like when I told her
that's when you
that I had it. Yeah, I'm like, that's what you get for Christmas this year. That's my gift to you. Never had good timing with some relationship stuff. We have some other cringy stuff that we'll get into later. But I end up having the surgery, and they show me the chart of where the cancer's going after. You have to take a shake, and you can't eat anything, and you basically do like a CT scan or a CAT scan. And they show me the chart of basically what the cancer looks like in my body. They put okay. it up on a board, right? And it's just like an x-ray, but you see the pathway. And where my mole was, where they took that little spot out, you see a trail that's going directly towards my armpit, which there's lymph nodes in your
yeah,
armpit.
Right.
So they're like, we don't know if it's reached your lymph nodes yet. If it reaches your lymph nodes, it can go anywhere. It can go to your brain, it can go to your lungs, because those are like vessels in your body. So that was like another thing along the way that was extremely scary that like yeah. my family is like freaking out. They're trying to keep it cool. But, the scariest thing, honestly, about the whole situation is is when someone looks at you who you love and they're trying to have a poker face, but they're looking at you like
they hold
they think you're gonna die. Yeah.
It don't look good over here.
I don't think I should go all in on this.
I don't know if you should make any New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, I don't know if let's see here. I'm just going to take this back real quick. Can we
I just fish one from the discard pile.
Yeah, can I
just
get
one?
Can I get one courtesy card real quick? Please? So that's going on. They show me the chart and like every step along the way. Like,
so the shake you take lights up in your body inside.
It looks like an alien
road map going towards your lymph node, but it stops.
It's black, just like this monitor, right? And it's literally like you see this white. It looks like an alien life form that's going, and then it just kind of trails off, like it's fading away. And they're like, "We don't know."
TBD.
TBD.
Yeah.
And I get another phone call while I'm at Red Lobster because that's how my family celebrates.
Let's go celebrate your cancer.
Let's go celebrate, man. Cheesy biscuits for everyone. You get a cheesy biscuit, baby. You get whatever you want
that's
tonight because you got cancer, baby.
Real after cancer, you at the Red Lobster.
And guess what? If you beat this thing, we're going to Olive Garden, baby.
If the cancer don't kill you, the food poisoning will. Red Lobster.
So wait, hold on.
You leave this appointment now. They're saying, here's the deal. You see it's... And they cut how much out of you?
They haven't cut anything yet.
Okay,
because
so they're just lighting up and seeing where
this is all the preliminary stuff. The appointments that... There's like multiple appointments leading up to the surgery.
And you leave this appointment same day, Red Lobster, you get a call same day.
Later, the Red Lobster call was after... after that.
But the same day they're calling.
It was like the next day.
Okay.
Because all this happened, the timeline's a little bit blurry because it happened so fast, but it all happened, the surgery and everything happened in 2 weeks.
Okay.
Everything happened. So I get a call like the next day or a couple days later while we're at Red Lobster. We're trying to have a good night. You know, we're trying to
everybody
have
Red
some
Lobster.
Fun.
That's
you
what
know?
Everybody's at Red Lobster
exactly,
for. Have a good
right?
night.
And get those crab legs. Come on. So I get a phone call from the doctor that says, we don't want you to be alarmed, but we have found a shadow on your lung.
The fuck is that?
Exactly. So they're
That's
like
a weird thing to say to somebody.
I know that, which is like meaning it could have got to my lymph nodes already, and it could have spread to my lungs. They're like, we want to make sure we need you to come in as soon as you can. to do another scan to see if it, now we're going to do a chest x-ray. And my family at that point, like they keep hoping, you know, we're going to get little victories here and there. And that's just like a huge gut punch to everybody. And like my family's like going to the bathroom at Red Lobster, just like crying while I'm just
we're
like,
going to need these lobster to go here.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, hey, could you put another batch of these cheesy biscuits in? Because
we got to get out of here real quick. But if there's any way we could get some lobster and cheese biscuits.
Meanwhile,
to go.
I'm trying to be cool and play cool. I'm like, yeah, you gonna eat that? I'm just gonna. So I love the shrimp here.
But this is what also, and again, I'm ignorant to all this, so somebody out there will probably be like, you're a fucking idiot. But I would think that if someone had cancer, you would put them through every goddamn x-ray and test and everything. Like, they would have already looked at your lungs, and now they're doing another one. Why? Well, they saw something on your lungs. They must have had that. So now they're what? They're going to do something like more invasive, or what are they going to do?
No, I think that they just wanted to do a like position my body a different way so they could just take a different look at it, because I think the original way that they did it, I don't know, it just came up. And
when are you doing that x-ray? Obviously soon.
The next day or two, because like a few days later, so I finally get good news. They're like, they say, oh, the spot that we found on your lung is just a shadow. And I was like,
from what?
A shadow.
You have a
Did
shadow
you take
on your
X-ray
lung, or you
wrong?
Mean on the X-ray?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, so they said, but they said that they're, I guess those spots are like, they're semi-normal. Like, they're like, nothing to worry about with that. I was like, okay.
Lung shadow.
Lung shadow. It's like a little spot on your lung that you get, and it shows up as a little shadow.
Shadow's a pretty tight nickname, I know. Though.
Yeah,
I might
yeah.
start yelling that at you.
Hey, lung shadow.
Shadow!
Shadow!
Why are you calling that? He's, yeah, he went through
That's
cancer.
My dog, Ann Jeremiah. Don't worry about it. He's my golden retriever. No
Why are you calling that? He went through cancer.
He went through cancer. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, player. It's, you know, we all get it sometimes.
No. I want to disagree with you on that one.
Come on, man. Quit eating those Cheetos, those processed foods.
I tell you all the time, it's that Dorito dust.
Yeah.
All right. Y'all have cancer now. Dorito dust.
Like LeBron.
At the picnic. That's yeah, how you should at be picnic. At the picnic.
Yeah, yeah.
Dorito dust it all up. I'm here, y'all. Fucking orange dust everywhere. All right.
So I have the surgery.
Okay, so they take you in. Are you but are you just fucking freaking out? How's it? Let me ask it this way.
Yeah.
How hard is it to not only stay, you know, yourself for yourself, but also while your entire family is sobbing uncontrollably in the bathrooms at Red Lobster? Like, that's got a weigh on you. You have to be, the onus is on you to be like, it's all right, everybody, things are going to be fine. Like, or are you with them too? Like, holy fuck, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, you know, I, one of the things that I do in my downtime to like help me collect my thoughts and stuff, and I've done it since I moved to LA and it's helped a lot, is I do like daily journal entries and stuff like that. And I took down, you know, some journal entries like while it was happening that like I look back on, and they're like, there's some pretty dark like thoughts and stuff that are going on.
You've read them, reread?
Yeah. And you know, just me contemplating like if this is the end, and like the like,
yeah, what stands out to you now that you think back on looking at those?
I mean,
like
I
half off scallops at Red Lobster next Wednesday.
I got to get that sampler before I go. and ask them to no longer discontinue the lobster nachos, because those were my favorite.
Did they have those and they got killed?
They had lobster nachos when I was a kid, and I asked for them every time. I'm like, y'all got the lobster nachos back yet?
Not since 79. What do you want?
Yeah, what do you want, honey? Why are you smoking indoors at Red Lobster? Just order it, all right?
Just hurry up. Yeah. I got it all up.
All right. no, I mean, I was definitely thinking while I was going through that, you know, that I like wrote out, I was like, if, you know, I die, like I want, my wife to like move on and like have kids and stuff like that. Cause she's, that's something that she's always wanted. And I think that she deserves that. And I was having thoughts like that, like, of kind of like working really hard as a comic and dying very unknown and not really getting my art kind of out there. I was in 2014. It's like, you know, I was doing a little bit of stuff, but like I would have essentially been kind of labeled as an open mic death, you know?
Couldn't make it to the big stage because stage two cancer took him. Jeremiah Watkins.
Stage two cancer at the Ice House, y'all. Let's do this.
That's the fucking side rooms at the club.
The side room is stage two
skin cancer.
Stage two skin cancer. Oh, you couldn't
headline
make it on the main
stage? Stage two skin cancer room tonight.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, you go through that. But the thing that, like, for me that I kept thinking, it wasn't an option for me to let myself sulk. Because if as soon as my family sees that I'm scared, they're going to be so much more worried and That's so right. much more concerned about me. So I just stayed as cool as I could. And I just like, just kind of tried to zen out at like every visit, like that we go to the hospital. Like I just keep trying to make like my mom laugh and stuff. Like we'd be in the waiting room and we'd be in the cancer ward. I'd be looking around. I'd be like,
I could be this guy.
I'm like, I'm looking around. I'm basically doing that. I'm like, I don't want to brag, but I'm the best looking guy in this cancer ward. Right here.
They're all looking at you like, what the fuck are you doing here, you piece of shit?
we'd be waiting at the hospital, or we'd be like in the garage or whatever, and I'd just like fart in front of my mom, and she'd be like, Bubby, what, stop. What are you, what? Gross. And I'm like, sorry. It's just the cancer leaving my body.
Leaving my body.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but you know, so you go but I made a decision, you know, I'm going to be strong. I have to be. And I said, I kept telling my family over and over, it's good news until we hear bad news. I just kept saying that over and over. Try not to worry about it. Like, let's try to remain calm. Like, that it's okay until it's not, you know? And that's like what we did. And I had surgery and they put me under and they ended up cutting out 10 inches of skin across my back.
Man.
Yeah.
10 inches. God mm-hmm. damn. A foot yeah. of your fucking back got cut out. How yeah. deep?
It was.
Was it basically that line that you saw? They had
it was
to
the
cut
line, but they
thing?
Had to like it, and the scar used to be bigger because they had like it's slowly over time like mellowed out, but it was like a strip of my back, and it had stitches for a while, and I was back in LA a week or so after surgery because I was so insane and I didn't want to miss shows. Like, I remember, like, we had a festival coming up for Roast Battle, mm-hmm. and I did a Roast Battle. I did the Wave, and that's a very physical
fresh
show.
Fresh fucking stitches in your back.
I had stitches in my back, and dude. I was on pain pills, and I just kept telling Jamar and Willie, I was like, hey, just, like, be mindful of my back, because I'm, like, in a lot of pain right now. And, like, I remember, like, after we killed it on like one of the bits, like, Willie would be like, ah, that's hilarious. I'm like, yeah!
Yeah.
Yeah. But, it worked out. And
when did you find out that it didn't go to your lymph nodes?
That was they had to take a lymph node out. That was like
they
one
did.
Of they did take they cut
precautionary
into
or
a
because,
precautionary thing. Right. They took a lymph node out to check it to see if it had made it there yet. And luckily that that was before I they put me under for surgery that it didn't make it to the lymph node.
They told you that before surgery.
They told me before surgery. So that was like a little victory.
So going
you know
into surgery.
So going into surgery,
you knew once they get this, you're good.
Exactly.
Fuck yeah.
And they're like the success rate like of this surgery is very high, like so you should be good, like
be back in Red Lobster in 45 minutes.
Yeah, you know,
yeah,
get that curbside to go. You
God,
know? That's so scary. So they said basically like if I would have kept waiting, like if I waited even a couple more months, it could have made it to my lymph nodes, and it would have
kill
been,
you.
Yeah,
a mole. Man, yeah. So yeah. I saw your post about going and getting yourself checked, and I've always been good about that anyway, but it reminded me, and I was like, I'm getting this shit looked at.
Yeah. I made a post on like Instagram and Facebook and stuff recently just sharing like a condensed version of that story and just kind of urging people like, hey, don't try to be like a big tough guy about this. Like, this is serious stuff, and it can really affect you. So like, just go get checked out like by a dermatologist, you know?
Well, I'm glad you're all right, dude. That's fucking scary. And you say you haven't really talked about that on any podcast or anything.
No.
Much.
Man, that's a Honeydew exclusive.
First, I thought you were doing an airline pilot, Ryan Sickler, there. I wasn't sure what the fuck that was.
Honeydew Airlines, y'all.
What I do want to get into, I would love to have a goddamn airline.
All right, does everybody have their earbuds? All right, let's put them in real quick. All right.
What would you like to talk about first, actually? Your parents' divorce or your sort of coming of age stories that you have here?
Let's do some coming of age and then we'll bounce back to the darker.
All right. So if you haven't listened to Jeremiah's Crab Feast episode, you should absolutely do that. And on that episode, you talked about how you were a late bloomer when it came to masturbation.
Yeah.
Almost 18, I think
said. Yeah, I was 17 and a half.
And several comedians have come on and said the same thing.
Yeah.
And they all have said also that they would have crazy wet dreams. And I deduced over the years of hearing these stories that I guess that if you're not masturbating, your body just emits it.
Yeah.
I was a guest on Dr. Drew's show a couple weeks ago, and we actually, that subject came up. And I didn't bring your name up, but I was like, yeah, you know, a few comedians have come on, and he said that basically God gives you a hand job. Like, if you're not doing it, then the Lord will get it out for
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
So you had crazy wet dreams.
Yeah.
A lot. Like,
a lot.
Nightly.
Nightly. Yeah, absolutely, because I was never beaten it, you know? So I...
Nightly.
Nightly.
Until you started.
Until I started. And then I still was so backed up that, like, if I went a couple days without jerking off, like, the dreams would come back to me.
That often?
Yeah.
And
dude,
what was your. Because it's so long. I don't
think
remember.
I also think that I have I come a lot, people. Okay.
Often or quantity?
No, quantity.
It's just even worse.
It's a lot.
It's even worse.
Sometimes I apologize to my wife. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's sorry. My bad. That's on me.
No, it's on her. Okay. That's on-
I see what you're doing there.
Oh God.
Dude, I had one. No joke. I had one. My wife, I think I'm just like naturally like, ready to go. And my wife went out of town for a weekend. I had one while she was. Yeah. This was just like last year.
No.
In 2018. Had one.
How old are you?
I'm 30. And I have this wet dream where, are you familiar with Margot Robbie?
Oh, the wife in Wolf of Wall Street and Harlequin from... Yeah.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
Yeah. How did you know a lot?
Big movie fan.
So I have this dream where, and I have no idea why the dream was this, but I'm speeding down the highway.
What kind of car are you driving?
It's a red convertible. It's like a Ferrari or something like that. And I'm speeding. I'm going like 130. While she is completely naked in the passenger seat, and I'm fingering her.
What the fuck?
Just going to town. She's giving me a blowjob. Like, we're going back and forth.
Yeah, you know, that natural 130 mile an hour fucking freeway ride. 130 miles an hour, blowjobs and fingering. One hand on the wheel at 130. One hand on the wheel. 130 miles an hour.
And, you know, I get to that moment where she's, you know, she's doing her thing. And, like, I come in the dream and I wake up and I'm just like, boosh. And I took a nap naked. So it got all over our sheets. It wasn't even in my boxers anymore.
Oh,
it was just all in the sheet. I was like, oh. It was embarrassing. Like, I'm like, I'm glad my wife's out of town.
Home alone, embarrassed.
Yeah. I had a wet dream lying next to her one time, though. I still have wet dreams.
You still have them?
Yeah. That one was at like 28, I think, though. I had a wet dream like while, like, and we had just had sex, too. That's what was crazy, too. We had just had sex, and, I had a wet dream next to her, like while, like, yeah. Didn't mean to.
I've had two.
I love you.
I love you,
babe.
Loved
you. I love you.
I've had two in my life.
You had two in your life?
That's it, two. And I remember thinking, like, because they would separate the boys and girls in the fifth grade, and they would take the girls over here, and they were like, this is all the shit's going to happen to you. Yeah. And the boys, like, this is everything that's going to happen to you. And wet dreams was one that they, like, I feel like I heard that a lot. It's nocturnal emission. That's the technical term.
Yeah,
you're gonna have this, have this.
Which
have
sounds
this.
So scientific.
It really does.
Way.
It's a nocturnal emission.
Yeah, you think an owl is gonna come jerk you off or something?
Woo, woo, woo. And I remember, but see, I masturbated early. Like, I stumbled onto it between the summer of fifth and sixth grade, just sitting there batting the thing around for a while, and then all of a sudden I was like, oh my God! And then every night I tried to do that again.
Yeah.
So I didn't know I was releasing myself. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I had two wet dreams. I was in seventh grade when I had my first one. I'm in my fucking twin bed next to my fraternal twin brother. And I fucking, you know, I'm having a great dream. I don't even remember really what the dream was. And I just remember waking up and it felt amazing. And then immediately it was like, ah, this is, and I had to get up in the middle of the night, go clean myself and shit. I'm like, this
so
sucks.
You were disappointed?
I was really disappointed because the hand jobs I was giving myself were way better than that dream.
Well, what was the dream? Do you remember the dream at all?
I don't remember specifically.
See, my
what it was.
My dreams are always so vivid that, like, when it happens, I'm like, worth the cleanup.
You should just start sleeping in like pajamas that you can come all over.
I mean. There would be weeks sometimes like where I'd be chasing that dragon where I'd be like, oh, I hope I have one of these. I hope it's Christmas morning, you know? But
so you didn't masturbate, but you said you have written here some things you would rub against things and stuff. So you so what is it? Did you feel guilty about doing it? Or
yeah, so I grew up super religious, right? So that was part of the like kind of guilt goes along with that.
I know they tried to push that guilt on me, and I was fifth grade. I was like, I'm going to hell. I'll take hell,
dude.
I'll take hell any day. I didn't give a shit.
I remember being in like fifth or sixth grade at this church camp, and us having this youth leader that was like, he was like probably in his 30s at the time, and he's like, I'm in like fifth grade. He's like, guys, can we talk about something that, since it's only the guys here, we all look at porn, right?
Fifth graders.
I'm like, I'm looking around, like, and there's some guys that are like, yeah, and then me and a couple other kids are like, what?
Did he just say corn?
Corn or porn?
Please talk.
He's no.
I'm in fifth grade.
Pornography. What is that?
Me about porn.
Shucking corn. And he's like looking at us, like almost like he like was venting, like to make like it's like an addict who's like trying to vent, like, come on, you know, you can have a drink with me, come on. And he's like looking at us like fifth graders, like I'm looking at you, like, dude, I don't know how to help you out here. I've never looked at porn before. And
pass the whiskey to your right, the weed to your left. Listen, guys, you watch porn, right?
Yeah, come on, guys.
I'm in fifth grade.
We all do this. I'm in fifth grade. I can't relate to this at all. So, no, but guilt definitely goes along with that. And I feel like in some religions for sure. So I didn't want to do it. And then I was like, I gotta check this out, you know? And, one of the things I did after, because, there's guilt that goes along with it.
Well, so let me,
I would try to find ways.
Quick.
Yeah.
Even though you weren't masturbating, did guilt still come along with your orgasm? Because that's really what they're saying is, don't bring yourself to orgasm.
Oh.
You know, at least this way I interpret it. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get this far in.
I always felt like I always felt like the sin was the buildup and
of
then
touching yourself.
Yeah, yeah, the touching yourself. But then like the release is like God is even like, all right, you get that.
You
know?
You did it.
Like I don't want to see you doing this, but like if you must like get to that point, like I guess fine. So like I would only feel guilty like you know, the build up and then like the cleanup. But like while like I'm in that moment,
that's so funny.
I'm like,
you're still hunching and looking around while you do it. Yeah, you're still scared.
Is anybody gonna walk in? So I would try to find ways, like, rather than just straight up jacking it. I would like rub it up against like my jean and stuff. Like I had already started masturbating at that point, but what I would do is I would start rubbing it up against like pajama bottoms or like jeans
Umbros.
or like basketball shorts,
yeah,
or something like
Umbros.
That.
I used to do
those Umbros. Oh, those
nice
soccer
and light,
shorts. Okay.
Nice and light.
Yeah. Are you masturbating with wind pants right now?
That's how I go to strip clubs, under Umbros and no underwear. They're like, you need to leave, sir. You need to leave. I'm like,
also, why are you wearing a backwards Kangol and aviators right now? And you just have a soul patch. This is a very distinct
this
look.
This is real weird, bro.
This is real weird. So I would rub it up against like the side of my leg, like over and over. And I guess I was chafing it or whatever, but I would come and blood would come out.
What? Hold on. Are you sure it wasn't blood from your penis mixed with the semen?
No,
or
probably
it would come out.
It probably
of your
was, but it's funny that you brought up Dr. Drew, because as a teenager, I thought about calling in to Loveline because I was so confused and nobody was giving me.
You
these
need
talks.
To go on his show and talk about this shit. That's what you need to fucking do.
And there was somebody who called in with like a similar story that he like. I happened to be like it was like they used to broadcast it late at night.
Uh huh.
At one of the alternative rock stations in Kansas City, and I would like listen out for it. And there's a guy who, like, you know, and I would Google it and stuff like that. And like, basically, the articles and stuff like that were like, you need to like use some lubrication, or you need to like stop rubbing it like on dry surfaces so much. And I'm like, okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
I did, I'll confess. So during my experimenting phase, and by the way, that phase hasn't stopped. I'm 46, it hasn't stopped. Still experimenting. And I wasn't sure which hand you used, bro. And that I had started doing that too. And then I was like, oh, someone said something about lubrication. I'm like, oh, so I had gone in the shower a couple times and I used soap. Yeah. But back then it would take a long time. And after a while I realized that that's exactly what was happening was the soap, but I didn't know it was chafing in my skin.
Oh.
But that's not the bad part. The bad part is it will cause these micro tears. Okay. And then
this is like a rocket ship.
Cause these little tiny, that's what I made that up, micro tears, but these little tiny little tears on the skin. You know, you could see like pink skin all around, you know, because of the friction of the soap. It would dry eventually.
Pink dick sickler.
Dude. Then the next day, all you do is get boners all day long when you're fucking 13.
Right.
And the
it
would scab overnight. And when I would get an erection, the skin would rip those scabs. I was like, oh, it would hurt so
that
fucking
sounds
bad.
Horrible.
I only did that like four more times till I learned my lesson. I was like, I'm not doing that shit anymore.
It takes about nine times like doing something wrong with masturbation before all right, I'll change the technique,
hurts so
I guess.
Fucking bad. That shit hurts so bad.
All right. Is the shower your spot?
Anywhere anywhere private.
It used to be my spot.
Yeah,
until
the shower was forever.
Until I felt bad. We kept having to call the plumber because I had really long hair for a long time. My wife has long hair, and I kept jerking off in the shower, and then the shower would start to clog, and then the plumber would come.
Oh, fuck. That's
dude,
disgusting.
The plumber pulled out a baby Jeremiah. Out of the drain.
Nah.
He had a big nose. He's like, what's up, dad? Hey, dad, what's up?
That's disgusting.
It was one of the most horrifying things. I'm like, I will never come in my shower again.
Now
on the road in hotels.
About it and fall, I fell out of the shower in seventh grade. My dad humiliated me.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was bad. Have you ever been caught?
There's times where I got really close where, like, my mom, I think my mom knew that one of my jerk-off spots was, I think she knew, like, my area was, like, our bathroom in the basement. Because around that time, like, from, like, 17 to, like, 20, I lived in my mom's basement. And there was a bathroom. It was like an unfinished basement, and it was just like a bedroom, and then just like this little tiny bathroom with just a tiny sink and then a tiny toilet next to it. And that was like my spot. And I would be in there, like, and I'd have like the exhaust fan on, going like, yeah, so you don't hear like the heavy breathing and the. Always got to turn that fan on. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So
quiet your belt loop.
Quiet it.
Quiet the belt loop.
Quiet it.
Buckle, belt
so
buckle.
So I used to do this thing. I'll say it. I used to do this thing where I would get lazy, where I would where I would wait to have to poop. If I knew a poop was coming at some point, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna schedule my jerk cycles around the poop.
You're double dipping down there. You're jerking off in your own shit smelling that. Oh, that's disgusting. That is disgusting. That is sick. That is the grossest shit ever.
I would sit down on the toilet and I would masturbate on the toilet and I'd blow my load and then I'd wait for my boner to go down and then I'd be like,
that is ridiculous. Oh,
God. So in the unfinished basement next to my bedroom and the bathroom is the laundry unit, is the wash machine and the dryer. So my mom would always come down in the basement.
You'd be in there for 45 minutes.
I'd be in there
for a
long
time.
There's no shower. It's just a bathroom.
Came and fake turned the shower.
Yeah.
Like, nah, I'm in here.
Yeah. So my mom would go, Bubby, what are you doing in there? And I'd be like, I didn't know what to say. So I'd always be like, ha, what do you think?
Shitting off.
I'm pooping and jerking off, Mom. What do you think I'm doing in here?
I never got caught. The closest was the aftermath of falling out of the shower. My dad having to call for help. Also, my dad would do this thing where, because I have a twin brother, so we're same age, same shit's going on.
Yeah.
And he would all, and we had one bathroom.
Did that help you out, having a brother at least to bounce things off of?
No, we never.
You guys didn't talk about it?
No, we never talked about it. We just did it. Like, I would disappear. We'd bathroom for a long time, but my dad would knock on the door. He'd walk by when you're in there for a while, and he'd go, "Leave it alone, let it grow a little bit." And I'd be like, he would say that, "Let it grow." Like, and I was holding it in my hand. He's telling me to stop touching it. He would tell me to stop touching it so much.
But yeah, that.
And I remember he called us into his bedroom one night. He was just chilling and like laying on his bed watching TV, and he goes, "You guys masturbating yet?" And we were like, "No." No, all defense, like super defensive.
What, are you? are you dad?
Are you
dad? Gross, dad? Oh, okay.
And it wasn't until I said, "Is it really true you can go blind from masturbating?" that gave me completely away. And my dad just started laughing so fucking hard. He's like, "Okay, you're not masturbating."
Yeah, yeah, all right, yeah.
Well, good luck to you. Why don't you find out?
All right.
But there was this one time, I've told this on the Crab Feast, but I'll say it for any of the new people because it's a honeydew moment for sure. But I come home, I was living with a friend of mine. I consider my mom. I was living with a friend of mine, and his mom was like my mom. And he and I had gone separate places that evening, both get wasted. But I get a ride home, and I come in at like 1 in the morning, and she's like, "Let me smell your breath." And I just, you know, I breathe. Dragging alcohol fire all over her face. She's like, "Oh my God.
Have you been eating pussy again?" "Come over here." "You've been hanging out with that Stephanie girl again."
Oh my God. So she goes, "Just go downstairs and sleep it off." So I go downstairs, and they have a really nice couch, which I always slept on, but for whatever reason, being drunk that night, I didn't sleep on there. I slept in her daughter's. Her daughter's like in high school at this point, but it was this doll room from when she was little. It's like this little twin bed with this beautiful little print on it. And I mean, stuffed dolls on the floor, up in the window, just like this little girl doll room. Like, so I guess the only thing I can figure out is that I must have started masturbating and passed out in it. Okay, and then his mom comes to the door.
"Oh my God, he's dead. There's semen everywhere."
She flicks the light on. She's like, "Hey, Ryan, can you go?" And what she's come to ask me is if at this point, because it's been a couple hours, if I can go get her son, if I'm too fucked up to go get her son. And she flicks the light on. She's like, "Hey, Ryan." "Oh my God." And it wakes me up. And I just looked down. I was like, "Oh yeah, sorry about that." And I just fucking went back to bed. But she was the coolest of all of them, and she was like, "What the fuck are you doing down there?" I was like, "I guess I started masturbating and I passed out during it." That's happened to me like a handful of times in my life.
Really?
Yeah, where I went to go get aggressive with myself and just quit in the middle and didn't know it, and I woke up and I was like, "Oh, I was jerking off, I guess." And it's always in bed late at night, drunk usually.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I like that. I'm into that.
But you have one here about
the sink.
Yeah, the sink. Oh man. What the fuck is that all about?
So that bathroom, I feel bad for the new homeowners of that. Of that Olathe home in Kansas. Mm. It was an unfinished basement, but I finished a lot of
it. You sure as fuck did. It was finished when you moved out of there.
It was finished when I moved out of there.
Oh my God. I got a jacuzzi in the east wing down here now. I finished this motherfucker. Uh-huh. Holy
shit. So that sink I told you about is in that bathroom. Like, if I wasn't feeling the I did a lot of weird things in that bathroom. Like, the first time I wanted to know, I hadn't had sex yet, but I wanted to know what a condom felt like. So I would jerk off into condoms in that bathroom just like to see what it feels like. And not as good. And one of the things that I would do I'd look at stuff on my computer in the basement, and then I would go to the bathroom to finish the job. But I would just nut in the sink because
sink
because the sink
first
was
of all you're tall
waist
enough.
Level I'm tall And this is a tiny bathroom that's meant for like a kid or something like that.
I would have been coming all over the cabinet doors.
So I was just doing one of these where I'm just like, yeah!
In the sink.
Just directly into the sink.
Why not the toilet?
Because it was at waist high. Like,
that's your reason.
That was my reason, because I was like, you know, the toilet, it could get everywhere, but like the sink, surefire. It's going right into the back near the faucet.
Company's coming over. Now I'm scared because
they're shaving and stuff.
That's whenever I go to like a big party or kids' parties that have a lot of people, that's the bathroom I go find, the one that's out of the way so I can go use it if I have to shit or whatever. You don't want to be around people. But now you're going to creep me out about their teenage kids and I'm splashing my fucking water in my face. Oh, fuck. Coming in the sink. Yeah. I used to pee in the sink.
Did you?
I lived when, after my grandmother passed away, I lived in her house for a little while, and I was down in the basement, and it was two stories to go up to the one bathroom that we had in this little row home, and it was a wash tub basement, like right next to the washer and dryer. It's the one the washer would, you know, backwash into and all that, and I was like, fuck it, it's bleach and everything, so I would just piss in there so I didn't have to go upstairs, but I never jerked off in it.
Never jerked off in the sink?
No, hell no, and that one was waist high. I probably could have.
Just... try it once.
Missed the opportunity. I'm going to go back to that house and
go
ask,
back and be like,
ask
hey,
the people to live there.
Can like, I get a tour of this place real quick? I grew up here. I just want to see it real quick. What are you doing?
Is the sink still downstairs?
Yeah.
You have some great comedy stuff on here that I'd love to hear about. But before that, let's talk about your wife. You talked about getting engaged and then a controversial video, apparently, that your wife was not happy with. And you said what? You had to do what to... You had to get her permission to tell this story to
her? Yeah, I had to make sure that it was okay. Like, I literally asked her. I had to get clearance because it was a serious thing that, like, it took a divot out of our relationship because of...
Like the one out of your back?
Yep. We'll be right back after this on the Honeydew.
What do you want to talk about first, the engagement or the video? Let's do the video.
Let's do the video first. So, as a comedian and as a performer, you get certain, I don't want to say passes whenever you do certain projects, but I've had to do like when you're in a normal relationship, you're not going to ever kiss any other person or anything. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
You're allowed to hug, and that's it. All you're allowed to do is hug.
I've had to do, like, some sex scenes and some movies and stuff like that before.
You had to.
I had to.
Right, yeah. Art. It's art.
I had to. And one of the things that I got asked to do was this project was just a YouTube video where, and I've always had these, like, we have discussions I have with my wife, like, you know, if it's for the right thing, if I'm playing a character, you know, if the project is right, like if I have to kiss somebody, it's like, okay, that's part of the character. That's part of the role for the movie or for the TV show, whatever. You're going to have to do that at some point if you're acting long-term and you're doing like being in different relationships or whatever. So we have an understanding, like, you know, if it's in a professional way, then yeah, you do it for the gig and, you know, it's usually like a money thing too. And sure, it works out. You're professional about it. I literally handled everything wrong about this YouTube video that I did. It was this video for All Deaf Digital, and it's still up online. It's called White...
Deaf is for deaf people, right?
No.
It's not a digital platform for deaf people.
No, it's not digital platform all for right, deaf people.
Got it. My bad.
It's like the
Deaf Jam.
Deaf Jam. Yeah, like I the cool
it.
Kind of deaf.
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
Not knocking. Anyway, the video, I believe, is called White Guys Kissing Black Girls for the First Time.
I've seen the black or white girls kiss
You've
a black guy.
You've seen these
I've,
kind of
yes,
videos.
I have, yes. I know what you're talking
so,
about.
So, I hit up my wife about it. We weren't married yet, and this was like kind of like at a time when it was like, are we doing this? Are we getting engaged? Like what's happening in our relationship? You know, that kind of like those critical moments, like along leading up to a marriage, and we weren't engaged yet. And but like she had been like kind of been like, like, what's going on with us? And I made the mistake of accepting to do this video. I cleared it with her before, but I wasn't like, I don't think I fully disclosed like all the details on it because I don't think I was even quite aware of what I was getting myself into. Cause I get on set and, they say like, you're playing yourself. You're playing Jeremiah Watkins, the comedian. And I could have backed out at that point and it been like a thing, but like I also would have let down all the people who were on set that day who like I was booked for that spot. And I was like, all right. So I'm like, I look right in the camera and I'm like, hi, I'm Jeremiah Watkins and I'm about to kiss a black girl for the first time. So I'm just playing Jeremiah. Right. There's no character. There's nothing involved. And we go to do the scene and I start kissing the black girl and I commit to everything and I double down to everything. So I was like, what's the funniest choice I could make right here? And I was like,
you don't know her, right? You don't get to
I don't know
the girl
her at all. I don't
never
pick the
seen
girl.
Her.
Never seen her before. And I was like, all right, what would be funniest if I go, ooh, I like that. Let's get some more of that. And me go back in for another kiss. Like me, like be like, that's the angle I'm going to play. So that's what I do. And like already, like I had to call my wife like after that.
Right after that?
Right after that. Like, and I'm in way too good of a mood.
Oh, shit.
She hasn't heard this octave in my voice.
Yeah, it went great.
It went so good. I'm like pepping. I got pep in my step. I'm walking down the street. I'm shooting like, you know, hey, how's it going? And I made multiple critical mistakes in the phone call. She was
Real quick. Did you go back in for the kiss like you were going to?
I went in hard.
And she was cool. The girl was
the
cool.
Girl was all about
leaned
it.
Leaned into
we
it.
We had chemistry.
It. Yeah, I can feel it. I feel it right now. I'm scared you're going to come on me. Ollie brought one
pair. It's
going to
be a lot, man.
That's what
all
I'm
right.
saying.
So I call my wife and she's being, you know, she's my girlfriend at the time, not even fiance yet. And she's being very sweet. And she's like, hey, how'd it go? You know, I'm like, it went great. And she goes, oh, so what happened? I was like, we start talking about it. And I don't know. I still don't know why I said this.
No, I already feel it.
I go, we're talking about the situation. I go, but you'd be happy. She was beautiful, so I was in good hands.
Oh, my God.
And she just goes, what? I go, I literally stammered like I had made like a huge mistake, like right out of movie. I was like, She goes, how do you think I should feel about that? How do you think I should respond to what you just told me?
Well, you need to wait till you see the video. Let me know what you think. I'm not sure what they'll include in the edit.
So I apologize like right away, and it's already put a little bit of stink. I'm like in the doghouse now because like I didn't handle it professionally and I didn't handle it properly.
But also, you know what you did in the video, and you haven't told her all that yet,
right? So the video hasn't come out yet. Fast forward to the video coming out. We had just gotten back in a groove. We're feeling good. Things are going well in the relationship.
How long? A few months before it hits?
Just like a month or so.
Okay.
Like, we hadn't been talking about, like, you know, we hadn't had that talk again recently about, like, when are we getting married? When are you going to propose kind of thing? Like, things were good. You know, we're vibing. This video comes out. And the storm that happened from this video, I start getting messages on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all this stuff. And she gives me a phone
from
call.
From who?
From random people that have seen it. It goes to the front page of World Star Hip Hop.
The one place you don't want it to be.
Ryan, it goes super viral. I had people hitting me back from home in Kansas. They're like, that was hilarious. Hey, wait, don't you have a girlfriend? Dude, So my wife gets a call from one of her high school caddy friends. There's like, hey, I saw your boyfriend in this video. Is he still your boyfriend? And she hadn't seen the video yet.
No.
She hadn't seen the video yet. So she opens the YouTube link that this evil woman sent her.
She sent her the link.
She sent her the link.
Just hey, go to worldstar.com homepage.
Is this your boyfriend? She opens it and she calls me and leaves me a voicemail and she's like she's very upset. She's very like sad the way like
they kept everything you did and they didn't cut it.
Everything. They have me going like, oh, I like that. Let me go back in for seconds. You know, like me like going back in and like me making out with this girl. And she's an attractive girl. And all the YouTube comments are like, because it was multiple different couples who did it. All of the YouTube comments like in a row are like, that one black guy and that one goofy, the one black girl and that one goofy white guy have real chemistry.
Oh,
300 God. Thumbs up. Do you think they met up after this? I hope so. 200 thumbs up. They another comment. I think their mixed kids would be really cute together. 125 thumbs up. So, of course, she's reading all of this. And also,
and the approval.
Yeah, and all the approval from everybody else. She knows that I already like showed my cards and that I happen to... I happen to maybe enjoy it and not be professional about the situation. And she, you know, she saw it as me taking advantage of a situation, which I, you know, I kind of did. It was like kind of the wrong move. I was like, oh, well, I guess we're doing this. Well, I'm Jeremiah. I'm going to freaking double down and commit to this thing and have fun. Let's freaking go. And all this is going on while we have bed bugs at our place that wow. I brought home from a gig in Vegas.
Are you serious?
Yeah. So we are literally, we're sleeping on an inflatable mattress.
And she's fucking
in my living room. And I just feel the tension. And I'm just like, just trying to, hey. And just like try to work back to some medium level. And it worked out, obviously. But it was a bad thing on my end that I like just did not handle properly at all. Everything that I did. Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was a mess.
So with roles like that, you said you have some pretty embarrassing or cringy audition stories. Let's hear some of these.
Yeah, man. When I moved to Los Angeles from Kansas, nobody gives you a roadmap or a guide or anything.
But there isn't one.
There isn't one.
No, there's not.
But some people might know somebody in the industry to be like, go here or there. I went out here completely blind. So I feel like I truly made all the mistakes that you have to along the way to like get to like a place where you're like, oh, this is how you're supposed to do it. I did all the wrong things. Perfect. Now I know not to do that again. Like what I would do whenever I first came out here from Kansas is any audition that I would go to, I would treat like a job interview and I would dress up like...
Not for the part?
Not for the part.
In a suit?
Uh-huh. I was...
You're a gangbanger?
I was suit guy
with
at the
heart
audition.
And purpose.
Yeah. I would have like a tie, I'd have a dress shirt
every
on.
Every audition.
I'd have slacks. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking around the room, right? And all these people are in t-shirts. So I'm like, I look way better than all these idiots.
I'm definitely getting this.
I'm definitely getting this
attending gig.
And right I remember there. Being like dressed like in baggy dress clothes that I inherited from like an older brother or dad. Me thinking I'm like, you know, looking super dapper and great. And me looking around and being like, oh, I got this proactive commercial. This is mine. I'm looking like a full adult, like auditioning for a 15-year-old role while I'm like 20 years old. And I'm dressed like an old man, like going in for the role. And I used to dress up like that all the time. And I'd print off my resume, like a job resume, not like an acting resume. Like I'm like, I used to work at Waterway Car Wash.
You put that on there? Waterway Car Wash.
I used to work at Pisano's down the street, man. I used to work
at
Wolf Creek Golf Club, yes, men's only.
He was a vacuumer.
Yeah, yeah.
At the Waterway Car Wash.
And I would print the most cringy picture of myself on computer paper resume, like in the top little corner.
I've done that before, yeah.
And I'd hand it in. And they'd like instantly when they'd just feel the paper, they'd be like, this guy doesn't know what he's doing. So I do that all the time. And then I was taking classes at Second City. And I had another friend from Kansas who had actually been out here that I met out here that I found out she's from Kansas, and she's just very blunt. And she goes, "Why are y'all dressed up like that?" I'm like, "Oh, I had an audition." She goes, "What were you auditioning for? Like a, you know, like a court scene or something like that?"
Yeah, right.
I go, "No, it was for an acne commercial. I think I might have got it." And she goes, "You're auditioning like looking like that?" She goes, "Jeremiah, you look like a damn fool. Stop dressing like that. What are you doing? You look ridiculous. Dress like you normally would, like in a t-shirt and jeans, and go in that." And like, she literally told me the right thing to do. And like, I gained a lot of experience just from somebody being like, "You are an idiot. You're not doing this right at all." So that was helpful. But some of the auditions that I would go on, I would self-submit. And when you're self-submitting, you go out for a lot of weird things. And one of the things I went out for was just like for the surfer role. I was like, okay, had long hair at the time. I was like, I have a good chance of getting this. I go in, it's this dude's apartment, and there's just a legal pad for the sign-in.
I'm here to get my mole check.
Yeah. Hey, I got a spot on my back. I don't know.
I got back cancer.
I don't know if you need a surfer with back cancer paddling out.
You got back cancer.
And so I sign in and I'm like waiting and I'm the only one there. There's nobody else there. And then the guy's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" I was like, "Hey, dude, here for the surfer role." He goes, "Okay, cool. Pop your shirt off." And I was like, "Okay." All right. Surfer, you're shirtless. That makes sense for the role, for the audition, right? Pop the shirt off, and he frames up his camera, and he films me for a few seconds. And then he goes, "All right, great. I got it. Thanks for coming in, dude."
Nah. That's it, dude. I wonder what the fuck ever happened,
dude. I don't know. He didn't have me say my name or anything.
I was on the legal pad.
I drove to this dude's house in the valley and just like took my shirt off.
In the valley,
just took my shirt off, and he's like, "All right, we got it." I was like, "What?
Like, who's we?"
I was like, "Who's you here?" He's like, "Who are you sending this to?" I was like, "So you'll be in touch?" He's like, "Nah." So I would self-submit for these really weird things that an agent, of course, would never send you on. This is before I had representation or anything like that. So you're just, it's the Wild West. Coming out here from Kansas, you're hungry. You got that fire in your eyes.
You were the Wild West.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about? Kansas is the Wild. I've been to Dodge City, Kansas. I've stayed in a motel on Wyatt Earp Boulevard.
All right, you get it then.
Dodge City, bro.
So there's a hunger, you know? I'm coming out here hungry. And so I'm submitting on Craigslist. That was a Craigslist one that I submitted for. That wasn't through like a proper casting site. Oh, no, okay. I know. Yeah, right? Big surprise in hindsight, right? Isn't that weird? So bizarre. I go on this one audition that I submitted on LA Casting where I get in the room and the role is for guy on toilet. And...
You got
I'm
this.
I'm like, I think I got this.
You spent a lot of time in that little
bathroom. Well, that's what's weird about this. So at first, he's like, all right. The casting director's in the room, and he's a very weird, intense guy. He's like, "All right, you're taking a fat shit right now." He goes, "You're taking a fat shit, and you're pushing. It's like, it's really giving you trouble, right? You really get into it." And I'm like, okay. And, you know, you have this thing going, like, when you're on set, that you can kind of be taken advantage of a little bit when a camera's rolling, when somebody's, like, directing you. You're in the zone. You're just starting to do it. It's just this dude in the room.
And his camera.
This was at a semi-normal casting office, though. It was just a weird, it was a non-union, like real low rate.
Of course.
I was like, hopefully I can make $200.
Right, exactly.
Right? So I start pushing. I'm like, he's like, all right. He goes, all right, now start jerking off.
Nuh-uh.
I'm serious, 100%. I'm like, what? He's like, you're jerking off on the toilet. You're pooping.
This part's made for me.
I'm like, what?
That's for real?
That is 100% real.
He tapped right into your chest.
I was like, what? I was like, method, go back, go back, go back. Meisner.
And then what?
So then he keeps directing me on like
the, you don't need, doing you don't need any direction. Stuff. You're a fucking pro at this.
I'm just going to town and I'm committing 1,000%. I get an email.
My dick's out.
I get an email notification. I got the call back.
It's a call. You didn't even get the part.
Yeah, they're like, it's a different. I didn't even get it. There's a second audition.
There's two auditions.
That's how hard Hollywood is for anybody who's wanting to move here.
That's the fucking truth.
You get a callback for that role. You don't even book that role. And I'm like, yeah.
And then when you blow up famous, they release that video. I'm like, here's Jeremiah in an audition.
It's him jerking off, taking a shit in an audition. TMZ. Here's Jeremiah Watkins dumping and coming at the same time. So I go to the callback and they're like, great news. We changed the role. I go, awesome. Great. He goes, this time you're going to be doing yoga, sucking your own dick.
Is that real?
Yes. I can't make this stuff up, dude. And I look at him. He goes, how flexible are you?
And my schedule, or what are we talking
about? What are we talking about? Body? Are we talking about Mondays, Thursdays? Because I'm at Starbucks those other days. What are you talking about?
I do have an established rate for this.
Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I'm actually very flexible. I'm a, you know, physical comedian. You know, I can do this. So they have me, and this is in front of producers now.
How many people?
There's three other people in the room and the casting director. Okay.
And do you know what the role is for? Like the product?
It's for
or whatever
some European commercial. So that's why I'm like, I guess this could air in Europe.
They do get a little funkier over
like
there.
I'm already in disbelief. I'm like, I guess this could maybe air somewhere. Like if 250 is on the line, I mean,
it's going to be big in Belgium.
Yeah.
It's going to be big in Belgium.
Wait till it hits Switzerland.
Wait till you get over there one day and you go international. People,
it's just on every
all
digital
know you.
Board.
All
billboard.
Know you.
Yeah. Oh,
there he is.
It's a yoga guy. So I'm on the floor and I'm completely, you know, I'm really like going for it. I have like my legs completely down. Like if I got on this table, I could do it right now.
I don't know if it could hold you.
Oh, it could hold me. So I'm doing the motions and stuff. They love it. There's like this. There's this couple European producers who are on it that have like some like Dutch or Swiss accents or whatever. And I am like, I tell myself after I leave there, I'm like, even if I get this, I got to turn this down. This is weird. This is too weird. I get the phone call. You booked it.
Your boy booked it.
Booked it. And I tell the casting director on the phone, I go, you know what, man? I've been thinking about this, and I don't feel comfortable doing this role.
And we got some stretchers. We can help you out.
Right,
you know,
right.
Get people
we get
you
loosen those
get
hammies.
Get some spotters.
We rub you down a little bit. And I said, I don't feel comfortable doing this role. And his tone from happy went to enraged instantly. And he goes, I put my neck on the line for you.
I put my dick on the line for you.
And he goes, you can't. He goes, I booked you for this. This is your role. You're going to do this. And I'm like, no, I don't feel comfortable about that. He goes, I'm going to ruin you. You will never work in this town again. I know the head of LA casting. I'm going to give them a call and your profile will never be seen on this network again. Click.
Thank you.
And I'm just like sitting on my bed and I'm just like,
are you
did I make the
are
right
you still
decision?
Trying to roll back and see if he can really suck your own dick.
I'm like, I booked that part for a reason. I don't sit on my bed. I get a call 10 minutes later. Hi, is this Jeremiah? Yes. Hi, this is one of the other producers on the project.
This is damage.
Yeah, we're really sorry about the phone call that you just received. We just heard that he gave you a call and was a little unprofessional. we would like to offer you a different role on the shoot. I'm like, great. I go, what is it?
You're going to suck the guy's dick after he's done.
And I go, sure, what is it? They're like, you're going to be shaving your pubic hair on camera. And I go, I'll take it.
Did you do that?
I went up to this weird mansion.
What was it for? Like Gillette
or
something?
Dude, it was some razor company. Or for some app. It was so weird. I don't even remember the exact thing that it was for. I go up to this mansion in the hills, like way far out. It takes me 45 minutes to drive there. And they say that they'll pay in cash. I'm like, perfect. And they wanted me to like show my pubes like on screen. And I was like, that's weird. Like, I don't want to do it. I'll mime the motion. And I was in and out of the shoot in an hour and a half. And it was just very weird. The director was coming over to me and he was like touching my hair. And he's like, you are a very pretty boy.
What?
Nah. Dude. Yes. I'm not, dude.
A pretty boy? You
are a pretty boy. Nice.
How much money were they paying you?
Nice hair. $200.
You could have shook a couple in a corner.
I know. So they keep asking me to do this weird stuff on camera. I'm like, I'm just not going to do that. Like, I'm like, you have me here for this. Like, I'll do this, but I'm not going to get too weird, like, for this. You guys just aren't paying me.
I have back cancer, goddamn.
Come on. I don't even know it yet, and I have it. And so they had me mime me shaving my pubic hair because I was like, that's ridiculous. I'm not going to show my pubes and shave them on camera. Fast forward to a few years later, season one finale of Roast Battle. I'm the first person to shave their pubic hair on Comedy Central live on a show.
Are you really?
Yep.
You're experienced, man.
I'm experienced. I got to get my reps in before I do this.
Holy
you know?
Holy shit, that is fucking weird and creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gross, man.
I mean, I've got so many weird audition stories.
Well, one story you do have here. Is a bit of a redemption story, and I think that would be a great way to close out the episode.
Sure.
Eighth grade.
Yep.
Take us back to eighth grade and what happened to you.
Eighth grade. This is going back a while. Going back to Prairie Star Middle School
in Kansas. What was your mascot?
The Panthers.
Prairie Star Panthers.
Prairie Star Panthers.
Okay.
So I'm the new guy. I'd gone to private school up from preschool all the way to seventh grade. And then my family moved a little bit farther south. And we were in a new school district and decided we're going to go to public school. I was like, all right, great. So I'd been playing basketball my entire life. And I was very excited to try out for the team because basketball is one of my sports. Grew up playing it. I've always loved it. And I thought that was going to be part of like my introduction to, you know, like part of your identity.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
When you are
easiest,
a kid.
Easiest, fastest way to make friends.
Exactly.
Everything.
You're connected right away.
Yep.
So I auditioned. I've been in LA too long. I auditioned for the basketball team. And
like, can you suck your own dick and make some layups? We only need about four.
All
from
right.
You
say
again.
Your name and take a jump shot before we start rolling. And so I try out and I do really well. And because they knew that I was a new kid and that I was not from one of their other feeder schools. Mm-hmm. Like, and I hadn't, like, some of those kids had already been there sixth grade, seventh grade. It was a sixth, seventh, eighth grade middle school. And they knew that this was my first year in eighth grade. So they purposely didn't put me on the A squad.
But they hadn't seen you play.
They hadn't seen me play or anything.
They just said, fuck it, you're going to B
squad. They're like, you're going to go on B squad. There's an A1, there's an A2, there's a B1, and there's a B2.
What are you on?
They put me on B1.
So two levels lower.
Two levels lower.
Okay.
And I was like, huh. Okay. Cool. And, you know, my mom specifically has always been super supportive. My dad as well, but like especially with sports and passions like that, my mom would like go to every game and stuff like that. And I started showing out to every game because I had something to prove now. Like, because a lot of the
chip on your shoulder now.
I have a huge chip on my shoulder. There's a lot, and the other guys on my team, like, I don't think are that great, but like, I want everybody to rise to the occasion and like us start, you know, putting up some stats. And I started scoring.
But did those dudes on your team know how good you were? They probably did because they started practicing.
They did because like, we started playing, and then it was like, why are you on B squad? But there's, and the school's defense, there's a couple other kids. There's like, really? Why is this kid not like a little bit higher up or whatever? This happens sometimes. But I put up every game, I'd put up between 30 to 40 points.
30 to 40. Are you serious? And they never switched you one time. It's like Teen Wolf, dude. You like went to Teen Wolf and took the team.
I was having double doubles. I was having triple triples some games.
And they never promoted you up or anything?
Had to stay and ride it out the entire season.
And just made them fucking pay.
And just like every game, just playing as hard as I could and just like trying to like show people how good I was.
35 to 40 points is sick, dude.
I know.
That's sick. Like, what were the other kids averaging?
I mean, if 15, like, good like, God. It, like on my, well, on my team, I mean, like, 15 would have been great. You know right. what I mean? But like, I was just like so ruthless down low, like using the body, you know? I played center and power forward in eighth grade, you know?
Did any of the coaches ever come over to you and be like, hey, sorry about that, man?
My mom called them out after the season ended and I had all my stats and everything. And they like were paying attention to it because I did the morning announcements.
Like you got up in the principal's office and got on the mic.
And one of the things of the morning announcements was you read the stats and highlights of the basketball
Fuck
season.
Yeah.
And I go, after every game, because I did it every week, I go, Jeremiah Watkins had 42 points and 18 rebounds.
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
That was going out over the entire school, and the coaches are having to like listen to this every single week of Fuck me being like, Jeremiah Watkins with another double-double.
But a sick double-double. I mean, yeah. 10 points and 10 rebounds is a good night.
Yeah.
Fucking 40 points. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Good for you.
So I was the highest scoring kid of the season. And my
of
mom,
all the teams, all four teams,
I believe so. At least the B squad, the B two, the B two squad was the B two squad was real rough. Like
they're
imagine
slapping at they're it, just like shit. Picking it up and running with it.
They're just like barely gripping the ball on the B two. I'm just looking at them like, Godspeed, my friends. Keep on keeping on. But my mom called one of the coaches out. He goes, "You see my son? MVP, right there. You looked over him." And the coach goes, he smiled. He's like, "Yeah, Mrs. Watkins, we made a mistake."
That's great.
And it was like one of those moments where it's like, that's nice to hear someone own up, at least, yeah. Not to brush it off or whatever. But it was one of those things where, you know, like sometimes you're dealt a bad hand, and I could have easily quit the team and been like, I'm too good for this.
Right.
I'm not doing this. But I saw the season through, and that's how I've tried to live my life and with comedy and everything, is doubling down, committing everything, and trying to make the best out of
that's
whatever
right.
situation that's thrown at you,
100%. You know? 100%. Yeah. Good for you, brother. First of all, thank you for coming on here. And even more importantly, I'm glad you're fucking healthy and okay, man. That's scary shit. I didn't know that. You kept that pretty quiet.
I did. Well, I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. I also didn't want people to worry about me while it was going on. Until it was completely in the clear, because I had to keep doing checkups and stuff like that, you know, over the years. And I'm completely clean and clear now. And I just go on for like body scans like every 6 months and stuff like that.
Go get your moles checked.
Yeah, go get those checked out, Blaya. Yeah.
Thank you for coming on, brother. Dude. Really.
And my marriage is still happening, so that's great. God. I know. I'm grateful for that.
You ever hear from the black girl ever? She ever hit you up?
I had to delete her from my memory.
Fuck social media.
See you later.
My memory.
Yeah.
Will you please one more time promote whatever you like, your album. Make sure you go pick up Jeremiah's album.
Yeah, June 7th, Reagan Watkins is going to be released on all platforms. And follow me on social media at Jeremiah Standup. I do daily videos and a lot of fun stuff and touring all the time with my stand-up and Kill Tony and Stand Up on the Spot, the Comedy Jam, Roast Battle, and check out tour dates at jeremiahwatkins.com.
There it is, brother. Thank you for coming on. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. Talk to y'all next week.